all in name, Lord. Amen. Right. Last Sunday, or Sunday before, actually Brother Carr preached about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and his presentation as the Messiah. Do you remember? In from the Matthew. And as the Messiah and King. And today I want to speak about the reaction of sinful people to this truth. This reaction are not limited to the people of that time. Even today, people show the same two kind of response when they encounter Jesus Christ and His truth. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the crowd shout Hosanna and welcome Him as a king. But just a few days later, the same crowd cried out, crucify Him. This shows that the human heart can change very quickly. Today the question is this: how do we respond to Jesus? Have we truly accept Him as King of our lives? Or do we only accept Him while reject Him in practice? Mark chapter 15 shows us exactly this truth, how sinful men's response to the Son of God. The first thing, at the beginning we see how the Jewish leaders, even though they didn't know who Jesus was, brought Him to Pilate to punish Him. In verse 1 says, immediately in the morning the chief priests hold the consultation with the elders and the scribes and whole council, and they bound Jesus, led Him away, and delivered Him to Pilate. Delivered Jesus to Pilate for punishing. But the interesting point, very interesting point, Pilate, he was an unbeliever man. He was a pagan, Roman. He don't believe God. He don't believe Jehovah God. He don't believe the Old Testament. But the elders and the Jewish leaders, they are believers. They have Torah. They have Old Testament. They know about the Messiah. But willingly, they give the Jesus to the Pilate for punishing Him. But the point here, when Pilate knows Jesus, actually he recognizes His innocence. Pilate recognizes Him innocence. In Luke 22, verse 13 to 16 says, Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers and the people, said to them, you have brought this man to me, and the one who mislays the people, and indeed having examined him in your prison, I have found no fault in this man. That's a Pilate. Pilate, he was a bloody man. He didn't care for anyone. He just killed him. you bring him for the punishment? Crucify him. Bring him for the punishment? Chopping head off. He didn't care. But when come to Jesus, Pilate recant his innocence. Not only Pilate recant his innocence, if you continue, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did who? Herod. That's so funny things. No Herod, no Pilate. They couldn't find any point for to crucify Jesus Christ. But still, those same people whom Jesus Christ had healed them many times from the virus pain and disease during His 3 years of ministry were now with one voice shouting, crucify Him, crucify Him. This shows that human heart, it is not changed, can remain hard and ungrateful even in the face of the greatest love of God. In Mark 15, verse 9 to 14 says, but Pilate answered, do you want to be released to you the King of Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of what? Envy. Why they are envy to Jesus? Because they don't want to lose on position. They have a respect to the people. They have a high position, a lot of money. They don't want to lose it. That's why when we come to John the Baptist, John the Baptist says, I must be increased and he must be increased. But the Jewish people said to Jesus, No. Let him disgrace. Crucify him. I must increase. And that's the show of the sinful man who we are today to Jesus. We want to be increased or Jesus wants to be increased in our life. Amen? But the chief priests stripped out the crowd so that he should neither release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered again second time. Pilate answered and said to them again, what do you want me to do with him who you call the King of Jews? So they cried out again, crucified him. Third time, Pilate said to them, why? What evil he done? But they cried out all the more, crucify him. Third time, Pilate asked people, why you want to crucify him? But the people said, crucify him, crucify him. Here we see a very real picture of the man's heart. A person who knows the truth, yet rejected. The word of God says, the light shining in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. But the issue is not only they did not comprehend it, they actually changed the light with the darkness. They changed it. They said, oh, we don't want Jesus. We want a Barabbas. Who is the Barabbas? He was a murderer. Jesus was 3 years with them, healing them, showing miracles. Actually, they did many things for the Jewish people. But finally, they all said, crucified him. We want a Barabbas. Who is a Barabbas? Barabbas was a murderer. That's the reality. Again, verse 7 to 11, Mark 15 says, and there was a man named Barabbas who was chained with his fellow rebellions. They had committed murder in the rebellion. He was a murderer. The multitude cried aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, said, do you want me to release to you the King of Jews? For you know that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priest said he should rather release Barabbas to them. You see, this is the deepest of the human fall. Not only does man refuse to accept the truth, but he reject and chose darkness in sense. A real blood-stained criminal is set free, and the innocent Jesus is condemned. Hallelujah for Jesus. How much he was grateful. He died to save the Barabbas. He crucified for release Barabbas. This is not just a historical event. This is a picture of us. My brothers and my sisters, we are all Barabbas. We were the ones deserved judgment. But Jesus was condemned in our place. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in what? In when? In that while we were sinner, Christ died for us. Romans 3:23-24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation for his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in him, forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Friend, Pilate saw the truth, but he made the wrong choice. Pilate saw the truth. Actually, he says he's an innocent. But he has still made the wrong choice. Do you know why? Because of the scared people. Because of the scared people. The many people today, they're not coming to Jesus. Do you know why? Because of scaring people. They know the truth, but they don't want to come to him. Because they're scared of his neighbor. Scared of his parents. Scared of his friends. Mocking him. Ah, you be Christian. Exactly the same as Pilate. Amen? It is impossible that we might be like Pilate. We know the truth, but we do not make the right decision. But the story does not end here. When men reject the truth, his question arises, how does Christ respond to being rejected? Men reject the grace of God. Men reject the cross, Christ. Okay, how Christ responds to this man? And going to the second point. A love that sacrifices self. Well, men reject Christ. Christ does not abandon men. But with a heart full of love, he gave himself to save the very ones who reject him. In Mark 15 again, verse 16 to 20 says, the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, if I say correct, Praetorium, and then called together the whole garrison and then clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and they began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! They struck him on the head with a rod and spit on him, and bowing the knee, they worship him, and when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. Actually, the soldiers, they don't know what they're doing. But do you know, I believe, actually, unwillingly, they are fulfilled one prophecy. Why the Roman Empire crucified Jesus? What was the purpose for crucifying him? Because he mentioned, I am a king of Jews. Yeah? And then Jewish people say, oh, no, Caesar is king. Caesar is our king, not Jesus. That's why when crucified Christ, and they write in the board in three languages, Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, this is Jesus, King of Jews. And actually, they fulfill this prophecy unwillingly. They are thinking they're mocking Jesus, but actually they fulfill, which is they are doing. Look, friends, this is the great love of God. The soldiers mocked him. They laid him away like a madman. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. They spit on him and strike him with a rod. Yet Jesus remained silent, did not resist, and he gave himself willingly. He could have called upon angels and destroyed them all. Yeah? He could have come down from the cross. He could have said, no, they are mistaken. No, I'm not saying that. But he not say anything. He's be silent there. Why? Because if he had come down, we would never go up. If Jesus come down, we would never go up. In the end, Jesus was crucified with two thieves in Golgotha, so that the prophecy concerning him might be completely fulfilled. In verse 20 it says, so that the scriptures was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressions. Innocent man numbered as a transgressions. But the following verses says, and those who pass by blaspheme him, and they are winging their head and says, aha, you who destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priest also mocking among themselves with the scribe says, and he saves other, himself he cannot save. They did not know what they were saying. They thought they were mocking Christ. But this behavior is not limited to that time. Even today, people mocking the cross of Christ. It's not that time. And today, people mocking the cross of Christ. Muslim people say, oh, I love Jesus more than you. But when you come to Christ, they mocking the cross. How is it possible God crucified? How is it possible God dead? That's the truth. That's the reality. It's not that time. It's not 2,000 years ago. The people mocking Jesus on the cross. And today as well, people mocking the cross of Christ. Why? because they see the cross as a defeat. Well, in reality, the cross is not a defeat. It is a victory, freedom, and salvation for mankind. That's why we needed hiding himself behind the cross of Christ. That's why we needed bow the knee behind of Christ. Because without Christ, no salvation. If Jesus is not gone on the cross, we don't have a Sunday resurrection. He done everything on the cross of Christ. Cross is not defended. Cross is our victory. Cross is our freedom. Hallelujah! For which Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah! He died for me. He died for you all. Hallelujah! And in the midst of all that mocking and unbelief, the only one who saw the truth and confesses it was the Roman centurion standing at the foot of the cross. Why he said, truly this man was the Son of God? Because he knows where he need to stand. He is standing in the foot of the Christ. We have to stand in there. We have to stand in the cross of Christ. We have to hide himself behind the cross of Christ. We have to. We have to take up Christ daily and follow him. The death of Jesus tells us how serious sin is, that the Son of God had to die. How great God's love is, that he was willing to die. How real salvation is, that is available to us today. If you have not yet accepted Christ, the cross is not just a story. It is God's personal invitation to you. John 20, verse 30 to 31 says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The cross of Christ is available today for you and for me. Just bow the knee to him. Just accept him. But the main question for today, what lesson can we learn from the death of Jesus Christ? The first one, Jesus Christ willingly chose to be crucified for us. He willingly chose to be crucified for us. In John chapter 10, verse 17 to 18 says, therefore my Father loves me because I laid down my life that I may take it again. No one took it from me, but I laid down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. It is true the Roman soldiers and since the Jewish crucified Christ, but the deeper truth is this, Christ gave himself willingly with a clear and divine purpose. Remember when Jesus going with disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane and when the Jewish leaders, Jewish soldiers coming to arrest Jesus, what did Jesus say? In Matthew 25 verse 35 to 53 to 54, Lord says, or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How can could the scriptures be fulfilled that I must happen this? That's the first lesson. Jesus willingly went on the cross. He willingly died. No one forced him. No one able to force him. Amen? And the second lesson we can learn, Jesus Christ was crucified as the final and perfect sacrifice, filling and bring to an end all sacrifice of the Old Testament that point to the atonement of sin. He was the final. He all done. He done. No more sacrifice. No more korban. No more sacrifice after Jesus. We don't need any sacrifice. He done everything we needed. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 to 12 says, "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. And every priest stand in ministry daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But this man, he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sit down at the right hand of God." My brothers, my sister, the Old Testament sacrifice were repeatedly. They must be repeated every week, every month, every year, every feast. They must be sacrificed. But Jesus' sacrifice was complete, once for all. That's it. The Old Testament sacrifice covers sins. Just covers sins and need to do it again. But Jesus' sacrifice took it away. He took away the sin. He done everything, and when you come to him, you doesn't have any sin. No more sin. Because he took it away, all of them. Amen? The Old Testament sacrifice pointed for, but Jesus' sacrifice fulfilled it. And the third lesson about the sacrifice, crucifixion of Christ. Jesus Christ was crucified for the sins of all mankind. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 says, "For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." He fulfilled. That's it. And another point, he was crucified to bring us to God and make us righteous. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by his spirit." And another lesson, Christ gave himself to be crucified, so that through the great work he would grant us redemption. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, that forgives our sins according to the righteousness of his grace." And the final point, Jesus Christ was crucified so that might be Lord, the God of both dead and the living. Hallelujah. Romans 14 verse 9 says, "For this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living." As we have seen in the Word of God, Jesus Christ is not only our Savior, but he is also our Messiah and our Lord. He not only saved us from the penalty of sin, but the living Lord, he has entered into a living relationship with us. This man we are in relationship with will become like us. A God who knows suffering, experience pain, and the past through everything that the human being face in life. That's why we are here today. To worship him. To grow in the knowledge of his face. And to have a deeper relationship with him every day. For we are not in relationship with a distant or indifferent God, but with a living God who knows us, loves us, and invites us into his presence. Do you have him? If you don't have him, go to him. The Christ is available. He's available. Just bow the knee to him, hiding himself behind the cross of Christ. Amen? Bow the head and finish praying. Oh, Father God, thank you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, and thank you, Lord. Lord, as much we preach, as much we say about what you did on the cross of Calvary is nothing, Lord. Lord God, you're amazing, God. You're amazing, God. Thank you, Jesus, for which is you done for us. And thank you, Jesus, for saving us. For saving me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Please help us, Lord. We try growing in your knowledge. Help us, Lord. Commit himself, Lord, for magnify your name in our life. We pray your holy name, Jesus. Amen.